Coming up next on A Daily Walk.
Purity before you are married and after you are married is extremely important. We live in a sexually explicit, saturated, perverse society. It's all around us. But when love is pure, when it is undefiled, and when it is untainted by the perversion of this world, it's a blessing.
Today on A Daily Walk, we conclude our study of the Song of Solomon. And throughout the series, Pastor John Randall has been pointing out marriage-strengthening principles. We've learned a lot thus far from the relationship Solomon had with the Shulamite woman, and we have a few more fabulous lessons to share with you from Chapter 8. We'll learn that love is to be permanent, strong in Jesus, and pure. Here's Pastor John, first recalling a great hymn from years gone by.
I can recall lyrics of another song that we used to sing when I was a boy. And the lyrics were, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I believe that when the world sees us leaning on Jesus, as we come through the times of refining, that there can be a visible and even noticeable difference because we have been altered by what we have gone through. The Lord has increased, we have decreased. There is more of Jesus to see and less of us. But I love this phrase where it says that she was leaning on her beloved, because the truth is, that is what we must do as well. Many times, our own understanding in a given circumstance is so limited, and it cannot hold us up because we just don't understand. Yet when we will choose to lean upon Jesus and the promises that he has made, we will find that we are steadied, that we are supported, that we are stable. This love we observe in this final chorus, it was proactive, it was protective, it was patient, and it was proven. Have you proven, have you tested the love of God in your life? Have you looked at his promises, leaned upon them, and found that they are true? Have you fallen upon his grace and found that it is able to sustain you? Have you leaned upon him instead of your own understanding and found that your paths have been guided and directed by him? Friend, if you are not leaning on Jesus, I would encourage you today, start. He is able to bear you up. This love was also powerful. For it says in verse 6, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. The bride makes a request of her groom. That is, to be set as a seal upon his heart and upon his arm. There were two kinds of seals in the ancient Near East, those worn around one's neck and those worn around the wrist or even a finger, a ring that had a signet upon it. And the typical Mesopotamian seal that was mounted on a pin and hung like a necklace, figuratively, it hung over your heart. On a ring, it was on your hand, and you would use that signet to seal something. And what that signet represented and what it sealed was inseparability, ownership, that this belonged to the person who sealed this. Therefore, when the bride is asking to be placed as a seal in connection with the king, she's expressing her desire to be safe and secure, as if something was worn around his neck and near to his heart. as if something had been stamped indelibly upon him that could not be removed. She wanted, if I may say, to be written on his heart and kept secure in his love. There is such beautiful symbolism that correlates with our Savior, Jesus Christ, in this point. In his epistle to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He said to them in chapter 1, verse 13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed," notice this, "you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." To the Ephesians, Paul said, you believed, you trusted in God, you accepted Christ, you were born again. And what happened in that moment? You were sealed, is the word. Sealed how? By the Holy Spirit himself, his presence in your life guarantees your salvation. Paul mentioned this also to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 22, when he said, "Who has also sealed us and given us," or given the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The guarantee of our inheritance, this sealing, as it's described. Basically, folks, it means earnest money paid in advance. Let me give you an example. If you were going to purchase something, you would give a down payment, which reveals your intentions to make the final installment and then come and pick up whatever it was that you purchased. Another example of this is seen in the engagement ring. When a man gives a woman an engagement ring, and ladies, not a promise ring. Those are lame. An engagement ring. A girl turns, "Why did you give me a real ring?" You know, anyway. When a man gives a woman an engagement ring, it means that he is intentional in marrying her, that he's going to meet the bride at the altar for their ceremony. It's the same way with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. He has put the down payment of his Holy Spirit within us, the first installment, if you will, and he fully intends upon claiming it when he comes again for us. It's the payment guaranteeing full delivery. How we need to be reminded and understand that our Lord Jesus, our bridegroom, has set a seal upon us, his Spirit, and we are upon his heart. That was the desire of the bride. Let me be on your heart. And folks, today you can know confidently that you're on the heart of the bridegroom, of your king. In the Old Testament, when the high priest would go in to intercede on behalf of the people, there were certain garments that he would wear for ministry. And one of the aspects of the priestly uniform was something that he wore over his chest, a breastplate. And in that breastplate were 12 different stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. In addition to the breastplate, on his shoulders were two stones that had the names of the 12 tribes written. When he would pass through the holiest of all places, the veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of all places, he would pass in and there would be the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the throne of God. And the high priest would go in and he would make atonement for the people. And the people, listen, they were on his heart. And he was bearing their burdens upon his shoulders. This was the symbolism. The people shall be on your heart. Listen, Jesus Christ is referred to as our high priest. And he has gone into the true holiest of all places in glory, passed beyond the veil, offered himself as the sacrifice. And there he is at the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. And understand this, we're on his heart. The Bible tells us this very clearly in Hebrews chapter 4, when it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but he is all points tempted as we are, yet he didn't sin. Therefore, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You're on the heart of the Lord today. You're on the mind of the Lord today. The bride wanted to be sealed on the king's heart. And the reason is because she understood how powerful love really is. And she says here that love is as strong as death, which speaks of its permanence. It's irresistible. It will swallow you up. It won't let you go. Love is unyielding in marriage as death is to life. That is why Jesus perhaps said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one, no man separate. It's strong, this love. It's not only strong, but it's intense. It says that the brightest flame can't quench it. It can't absorb it. I mean, the love of God is intense. It's also unquenchable. Even when it's flooded by difficulty, the waters can't drown it, it says. And if that weren't enough, it says it's priceless. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. There's not enough money to purchase this kind of love that God has for us today. It is something that is freely given and that is to be received. We are undeserving of it. We could never earn it. And yet he gives it to us and we can receive it. God's love for you today is stronger, more intense, unquenchable, valuable. And here's what the Bible says. If you are in Christ, Romans chapter 8, you want to make a note of this verse. Romans 8 in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? That nothing can separate you from this love of God. It is powerful. I wonder if you know today how much you are loved by God. His love is not only powerful, but also there is an allusion here to the purity of love in this passage. If you look at verses 9 through 12, it says, actually, verse 8, it says, we have a little sister. She has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she is spoken for? If she is a wall, what will build upon her? A battlement of silver. And if she's a door, we'll enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers, she said. Then I became in his eyes as one who found peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He leased the vineyard to keepers. Everyone was to bring its fruit, 1,000 silver coins. My own vineyard is before me. You, O Solomon, have 1,000, and those who tend its fruit, 200. Some look at verses 8 through 12 and see it as an epilogue. And by that, it's as if the couple is now looking back to the time before they met. A time when the Shulamite bride was a young girl. She was not at the age of mature development, not ready to be married. And here, we find that her brothers were the ones who were watching over her. Would she be a door open to all suitors, or would she be a wall protected and waiting for her king? Thankfully, we find that her brothers in her life kept her safe. Her family kept her guarded. She was not an open door just for anyone to have a relationship with. No, she was a wall. And as such, there were things that were, it says, built into her life during that season of waiting for her king to come. She was enclosed in that sense. And when I consider these verses, this epilogue, if you would, it speaks to me of the importance of purity in love. Purity before you are married and after you are married is extremely important. We live in a sexually explicit, saturated, perverse society. It's all around us. We're inundated with it in every form of media known to men. Sex sells in our world, and thus it is all around us. Children being tripped up by it, grown men and women being stumbled by it. But when love is pure, when it is undefiled, and when it is untainted by the perversion of this world, it's a blessing. There is nothing desirable or refreshing about a stream that's been polluted. If you've ever seen a stream that has been filled or contaminated, you don't want to touch it. You don't want to drink anything from it. It'll make you sick, perhaps even kill you. But a pure river, there's life, there's beauty, there's refreshment, there's joy. The Shulamite made it a priority to keep herself pure. She had other people around her who kept her accountable. If you want to live a pure life before the Lord, before your spouse, or waiting for that someone that the Lord might bring you, you know what you need? We need accountability in our lives. We need people to stand with us, to keep us on track, to hold us accountable, to live a pure life. You need to be open with your spouse, if you're married, about keeping things pure, keeping your vision pure, keeping your ears pure, keeping your life pure before God. Folks, the Shulamite made it a priority to keep herself pure, listen, until her king came for her. And I do believe that this is something that even today applies to us as the church, keeping ourselves pure until the king comes. 1 John tells us in chapter 3, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, that is of seeing the king, keeps himself pure just as he is pure." Knowing that my king is coming is a tremendous incentive to live a pure life, because I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to give an account for the life that I have lived. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from this world." Not polluted, in other words, by this world. This love in this final chorus, it's proactive. It's protective. It's patient. It's proven. It's powerful. It's pure. But finally, it is prayerful. You'll notice in verse 13, "You who dwell in the garden, the companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. Make haste, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. The final declaration of the bride to the king was this: make haste. Please get here quickly. If you could you be like a gazelle and just like hustle it up? Or maybe like a young stag on the mountains. What do you say? Get here quickly. Get here as fast as you can. That's what she's asking for. In light of the love of our King, this should be our prayer. Make haste, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, please come. You see the world growing darker, and the more you just, man, we're ready, Lord. We're ready for you to come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Make haste. In the last book of the Bible, the last words of our King were as follows. In Revelation 22, verse 7, he said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." A second time, he said in verse 12, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And then a third time, he said this in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.'" And the response of the bride to the groom that said he was coming quickly was this: "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That should be the prayer. That should be the cry of the bride. "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.
Today on The Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, we've wrapped up our series based on the Song of Solomon. I'll remind you one more time, the entire series is available as a CD set and online as well. Visit us at adailywalk.org to listen right now, or call us to order the series on CD at 877-242-0828. Or download our church app so you can listen through your mobile device. Just search for CCSJC. Did you know we have a couple of podcasts? The first features A Daily Walk, but Pastor John also has another one called Spread the Word. In it, he relates his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. Check both of those out on Apple Podcasts. When a listener takes the time to write or call, it really blesses us more than words can tell. And yes, Pastor John reads your emails and letters. The Lord deserves all the credit for anything good that comes from and through this ministry. And it's an opportunity to praise and thank Him for what He's doing. Share a praise report or a prayer request at adailywalk@gmail.com. And here in the month of July, we're pleased to offer you a book written by Pastor John based on the Song of Solomon. It's Love That Lasts: Singleness, Marriage, Dating. Well, you don't have to look far in our world to see that many marriages simply don't make it. Is it really possible to have a love that lasts? Yes. And Pastor John points the way through this book. Pastor John takes a look at the relationship King Solomon had with the Shulamite woman who became his wife. And he does so from various angles. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged by God's love for you and your spouse if you're married. And if you're single, that you'd be encouraged by God's heart for true love and relationships. Order it online at adailywalk.org. Or call us at 877-242-0828. If you believe in what we're doing here at A Daily Walk and would like to get behind us, we'd very much appreciate your prayers and financial support. While there are substantial costs of being on the radio and internet, God has proven to be faithful to provide where He's guided us. And we look to Him to help us continue. To make a donation today, drop by adailywalk.org or write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you know that we are longing for the day when you will come for us, Lord. You have clearly, Lord, throughout your word, declared your love. And more than that, you have demonstrated your love. Father, where would we be without you, Lord? We'd be lost. And yet, Lord, while we were dead in trespasses and sins, you loved us. You came for us. Lord, I pray if there are any here today who have yet to respond to this powerful, life-changing love of God, that not another moment will go by. Father, thank you for your word, all of it. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Tomorrow, Pastor John Randall will introduce the book of Hebrews to us, and we'll begin a new verse-by-verse journey with you. That all starts Tuesday on A Daily Walk. This is a presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.